Hello, my dear friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. We are a non-traditional church with traditional values. Listen in today on our worship experience. It's already in progress. Amen. Heaven is looking down. There's a place called heaven. Bible says that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Let's bow today. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, you're so good to us. We don't deserve it, but you continue to bless us over and over again. And so we come today just to thank you for being God all by yourself. As we come today to preach your word, it is always our prayer that we might decrease and that you might increase greatly. Save someone today, encourage another. And when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. My God, isn't God good? It's just good to be able to see the saints of God today and look at your smiling face and to be able to come in fellowship. There's a word from the Gospel of Mark, and gospel simply means good news. 9th chapter, verse 33, we'll begin there. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Good to Great. Good to Great. I am the greatest. I'm the greatest thing that ever lived. I don't have a mark on my face. I upset Sonny Liston and just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. Well, you know by now, those are not Pastor Tootin's words. But they are the words of the late Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. He could talk with the best of them and could back it up. We all know somebody who could talk and always failed at the job. He was one who did not mind saying it, even calling the rounds. I said to you in the past, I got a chance to meet him in my 20s. There in Florida doing a radio interview, and I was like, wow, the champ is big. And he was quick and witty. And I got a chance to do an interview with him. I wish I knew where that was. I think I was more afraid just to be in his presence after seeing him knock down people. But he felt good about himself and really believed that he was the greatest. In fact, he would often knock out his opponents with his talk before he ever got to the ring. He would talk him down, give Howard Cosell a fit because of what he would do. But it's not just about Ali. As I look at you today, you too feel good about yourself. Amen. And you ought to. Amen. The only little class I thought I did halfway decent in was psychology 101. I kind of got a C in that. But I learned one thing about self-concept. How do you feel about yourself? And so when I think about you and I think about I today,
You may call yourself the best, something that you do well. I'm the best. I'm exceptional. I'm first rate. I'm five star. You've said it a time or two. I'm good. I'm huge. I'm outstanding. I'm very good. I'm wonderful. And I'm all of that and a bag of chips. But as we look at our text, even from last week, we were on the mountaintop with the disciples, Peter, John, and James, and they were there in the presence of Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, and they were talking about, wouldn't it be great just to build some tents up here? Keep in mind that Jesus all the while is heading toward Calvary. His mindset is one of what's going to happen in the weeks to come. And we're kind of on this journey with the Savior who has many things going on, but he's concerned about getting to Jerusalem. And when they come down from the mountain, all pumped up, there's a dispute happening at the bottom of the mountain because a man comes and says, Jesus, your disciples could not heal my demon-possessed boy. And there was a ruckus. And Jesus had to heal him, and then he laid them out by saying there's some things that only come by way of prayer. Have you found out today that you've tried everything in your might to do something, but once you got on your knees and asked the Lord to help you, didn't he bring you through your situation? I'm just saying sometimes we work our own solutions out first. And he said what was missing in the scenario was prayer. Well, now they're heading to Capernaum, a little fishing town, and they're all together. And it's very obvious that there's some controversy about the brew. And that's what I love about the Bible. The Bible will give you some points where there's tension. Amen? Where there are things, there are real people encountering a real Savior, but things happen. They were more concerned about greatness. They were more concerned about, now when Jesus comes into this earthly kingdom, I'm going to be in a top spot. And they believed that. They were half listening. He was saying, no, I want you to check this out. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to rise again. But they would say, yeah, okay, I hear that. But I'm looking to the day when I can be with Jesus. And so it's not surprising that what takes place in this text are three things we'll point out. There's a dispute, there's a declaration, and there's a demonstration. Let's unpack these verses. Here's the problem. Here is the dispute in black and white. So they came to the town and they had been fussing, arguing about who was the greatest. And they had been disagreeing and they had been debating. And isn't it amazing that arguments happen even among Jesus' disciples? Some of y'all love a good argument, especially if you can win it and have the last word. But I want you to see these disciples in that light. They had been fussing about who was the greatest. Christian people, followers of Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And they about to go to, they about to fight. Amen. And Jesus happens to say, what were y'all arguing about on the road? As if he didn't know. Don't you love Jesus? Say, I heard something was going on. What? And they didn't say a mumbling word. But a dispute had taken place about this sense of who is the greatest. And that's it. You may be good, average, but when it comes to being great, there's only one who's great. Love that song, How Great is Our God. Not many Ali's today who can call the round, but he was trying to let them know that I'm already tuned in to what you're talking about. It shows that we in the flesh have problems. We won't say it, but we're trying to position ourselves. Oh, I know we are. Yeah. Amen. They must have been a little embarrassed to know that he who knows everything was already tuned in, but they kept quiet. Yeah. That's not a bad thing. That when the Lord calls us out, you may as well keep quiet. When he begins to reveal to you who you are and who I am, it's okay, because sometimes that dispute is not just with other folk. That's right. But sometimes there's a war going on with ourselves, yeah. Not even in the manuscript. Yeah. Every now and then the fight is not somebody else. Yeah. The fight is the dispute you have with you. Yeah. But know that he knows everything and begins to add some perspective to what's going on. Love Psalm 139 and 4. It says, before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Before you even formed it and thought about it in your head, he already knew what you were going to say. Watch your words. Amen. That makes sure that you're there to uplift and encourage someone. He was trying to focus them on what was really important. And it was not about who's number one. Not about where am I in the corporate structure. Not about my 401k is banging. Not about here's where I am. When you get a certain age, you start talking retirement stuff. Oh, some of y'all not there yet. Some of y'all been there. Amen? But God works that way. So he goes into that dispute, begins to lay it out, let them know that he knows what's happening. And then there's a declaration, a pronouncement of sorts. It says, sitting down, which means that Jesus was standing up. He called the 12 and said, anyone, since they weren't talking, who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Say what? In this society, you telling me that I can't pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm not waiting on anybody? No, I'm trying to be last. Yeah, yeah. You all fight to get in the express line. I know you do. But that's just the way it works. He makes a formal announcement. Anyone who's thinking about being great, anybody who's thinking about being first, go to the back of the line. Isn't that the way he works? And because he knows what's best for us, some of us need to be at the back of the line. It gives you a different perspective. But let me just say, have you ever been humbled in the Lord? You thought you were all that and the Lord had to humble you? You didn't like it at the time, but aren't you glad he humbled you? Aren't you glad he made a declaration in your life because he knows what's best for you? Well, let me just testify then. When I had my little job, when I first moved here, I was not too humble. So that man called me in his office. How you doing today? I'm doing great. Yeah. When I left, I was about to cry, man. I had a wife and two kids. Yeah. But through it all, I was humbled, had to be last, had to go to unemployment, had to barely make it from week to week. But look at God. Yeah. Won't he take care of you? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you thought that you were waiting too long. It was not a part of your five-year plan. He said, boys, you've got to see this thing in a different light. You've got it all twisted. You need to be a servant of all. You mean of all. Not some. Not picking and choosing. But he lets them know. He makes a divine announcement in their life. Now, go on and climb the corporate ladder. But the ladder the wood was made from in the tree was made by God. God will exalt you if you will humble yourself, therefore, under his mighty hand. Won't he do it in due time? No need to try to rub elbows with somebody important. You know who your father is? My God, you serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today, and his name is Jesus. One time before in the book of Matthew, there was a whole wage dispute about people coming on the job, a parable Christ shared, and they got a certain price, and the guys came later, and they got the same money. They were hot. And Jesus said again, hey, the first shall be last. A dispute, a declaration. But then there's a demonstration. He's visual. He says he took a little child whom he placed in his arms. I love how the Bible explains. He takes the child and said to them, whoever welcomes one of these, one of them, in my name, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. It was a show and tell moment. And the Lord will use things in your life and around you as an example. Now, keep in mind that children in this time were second-class citizens. They were not important, very seldom written about. But he says you've got to start at this level to learn what it means to be great. Now, they may be looking for something else. Why don't you bring me somebody who got some cred, somebody who's been around. No. I'm going to take a child. And a child shall lead them. And so as you influence another generation, you are doing a great deed and a great service by encouraging some young child to be all they can be. Amen. Amen? Amen. I mean, you say, well, my children are all grown. No. I mean, somebody at the bus stop need an encouragement. Somebody along your way say, how you doing today? Amen.
That's right.
He takes time to tell them what is important. We can be impactful in the life of others. And to have someone to come to you and to me and say, hey, you remember me? I say, yeah, how you been? I may not, but it was something that, well, you may as well be real. I just say, well, it's a senior moment. Now, you look familiar. Help me out. Did anybody do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you changed your glasses, didn't you? Oh, your hair different. Is that a new car? But people will come to you, and I always tell kids, well, I say, stop me at Walmart when you're older to remind me that I spoke to you.
Yeah.
And maybe I said something impactful. Let them know for the moment you have to share something about Christ.
Yes.
Something about your faith and where God has brought you. Christ will often say, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you still feel great? Do you understand now how he connects it by saying you can't even get there unless you can come here? That the dynamic is not the way the world sees it, but you are really great. Did you know you're really great anyhow?
Right.
No need to fight, ball your fists up. And those disciples were looking for greatness. And here's what really caught me, deacons. I said, wait a minute. They're looking for greatness, and they're already hanging out with greatness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got a living model right in front of them, and they arguing, no, I'm the great. No, man, you with Jesus. And so therefore, that gives you a special privilege anyhow. They had been following greatness. They'd been eating with greatness. They'd been sharing with greatness. John went to the cross with greatness. Greatness was nailed to the cross. Greatness was buried in a borrowed tomb.
Yeah.
Greatness got up on the third day morning with all power in his hand. That's greatness.
Amen.
The fact that Christ lives in you makes you great.
Yeah.
You're trying to get a 2-month plan and a 5-course seminar to be great, and you're already great. Why? Because the Spirit of God is already. Do you feel great today?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel great. I feel great. I feel great. And that. What it means to go from good to great.
That's right.
And like you, I flirted with the world's version of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Accolades and awards. Thank you. Degrees and declarations. Praise the Lord. Whereas plaques and pins, praises and pats on the back. But can I tell you today that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me?
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly. He is the best thing that has ever happened to me. And because of who he is, I feel great all the time. It's not a line. I say, oh, I'm great. Because I know someone who's great. It was the hymn writer, Thomas Chisholm, who in 1925 penned these words. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed. And I almost shouted on that. Everything that I needed. Every dilemma I was in. Every situation I found myself in. Thy hand hath provided. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now, here's the question. Am I by myself today? Can I swear you in today? Does anybody have a testimony today about how the Lord has been great in your life? Anybody can say, I know what he'll do. I know what greatness looks like. I know what greatness feels like. Well, let me swear you in then. I promise to tell the truth and the whole truth. So help me God. Well, you can testify as well. Has he ever brought you through a situation? Is there a testimony? Has he helped you when you were down to your last dime? Testify. Has he put food on your table? Testify. Has he allowed you to have a roof over your head? Testify. Has he brought you through seen and unseen dangers? Testify. And we can testify by praising him. We can testify by giving his name glory. Are there any witnesses in the house today? I'm looking for one or two that says, I promise to tell you he's been good to me. I promise to tell you he continues to be real in my life. That's why I'm so great. Hey, that's why I can serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. From good to great. From average to great. From okay to great. From you need some work to great. From I've messed up to great. From Lord have mercy to great. From help me to make it through to great. Won't he do it today? Anybody feel great today? Anybody know that you serve a great Savior and his name is Jesus? Oh my God, I feel good today. Why? All of a sudden when I started reading this text, I started saying, well, I feel great. I feel better. Why? Because I know who it is who's great. My God, my God, my God, my God, my. Somebody just give God some praise today. Some of y'all got those cars that say 0 to 60 and way too much fast time. That's why you bought it. The God that we serve will take you from broken to greatness. From despair to just like that, if you but would trust him today. That is the word of God. It's already blessed. Come on, stand today all over this place. God has changed your status. And that's a wonderful thing. To be made over in him. Those boys felt shamefaced because they'd gotten busted in the spirit arguing about something that only he who is the greatest could have them figure out. And that's a marvelous thing when you know that God has transformed your life. Isn't that great today? I'm blown away. When I think about what God keeps doing in your life and my life, that man, that gives a whole different label to what greatness is. Our men are coming to encourage us in this time of invitation. But may this word soak in. He's a great God.
I will sing your praise, for you have done such a marvelous thing for someone so wretched. Yet my soul you have redeemed.
My God.
No one else could do it. No one cared half as much. Yet you thought my soul was worth it. That you gave.
Or didn't he do it?
That you gave. That you gave.
My.
Your only son.
You gave that I might live.
You gave.
Today. I want to take a moment today, even now, to let you know that you can be great in Him. And this is for those who maybe have never accepted Him as their personal Savior, but they've accepted the world's version of greatness. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His best." That He sent the greatest to die for us. And the Bible says if you believe that God sent Jesus, if you believe that He died, if you believe that He rose again, the Bible says, thy shall be saved. Because as you confess it, He'll come in. This is the most holy time of the worship experience. Why? There might be one person in the valley of decision. And I want to pray with you right now where you are. Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we thank you for that classroom assignment. God, we come today because we stand to share your word. And we know that your word can produce results. You only know if there's one who has never opened their mouth to you today. God, in the name of Jesus, save that soul today as only you can.
Yes, Lord.
God, even now, let them know that you've already heard their cry, already know their condition, and they're in need of a Savior, and you are that Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Do it today, God, we pray. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Somebody give God a praise today. Amen.
Thanks for sharing. We're Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. To connect with us, go to our website. It's www.com2harvest.org. That's www.com2harvest.org. Also, download our Harvest app. It's HCM Baltimore in the Apple Store and Harvest Christian in Google Play. I'd like to invite you to pick up a copy of my brand new book entitled Leading by Example, A Parental Guide to Teaching and Modeling Christian Faith at Home. It's available on my website at timtootentv.com. That's www.timtootentv.com, or on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin. Have a great day in the Lord.